Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
We will connect, families grow, lives change. We will connect, families grow, lives change.
My mom always said that I was going to be an attorney from the time I was about 3 years old. And she, when I asked her, why did you say that? She said, because you will argue about anything. And so I said, well, that's nice. And she said, not only do you like to argue about anything, you will build a solid case in the argument. So I just want to tell you, whatever your gifts are, use them for Jesus. So I'm going to build a case today like an attorney about what the Bible says about healing. How many of you in here today need a healing in your body? Arthritis, cholesterol, blood pressure, headaches, migraines, backs, necks, ankles, tendons, ligaments, just about everybody in the room, pretty much. And so we want to know what the Word of God has to say about healing, because we've heard what our grandma says, we heard what our last church said, we heard what our friend at work said, but we need to know what the Word said, because there are a lot of really nice churches in the world that aren't sure what the Bible says about healing, so they don't preach it. So really great people go to really nice churches and they die sick way before their time because they don't know what the Word of God says about healing. Or they're scared. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to preach about healing, but Brother Bucketmouth was a good soldier of the Lord. And oh, he died and he was only 58 years old. And if we preach it, people aren't going to believe it because look what happened to Brother Bucketmouth. That's funny, y'all. And the Bible doesn't say build your case or believe what happened to Brother Bucketmouth or Susie or Bubba or Bobby or Billy or Joe or anybody else. The Bible says to believe what the Word says, because we don't know what they believe. We don't know what they prayed. We don't know what they asked God for. All we know is what the Word says. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our God is a healer. Amen. So the first question I just want to tackle real super quick is God willing to heal you? Because that's where people get stuck a lot of times. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do, because he told us 2,000 years ago exactly what he was going to do, and he doesn't change his mind. Well, I mean, God puts sickness on people to teach them stuff. Really? Could you show me that scripture in the Bible? Because I'm not exactly sure where that one's at. Well, but you know, well, God heals some, but God doesn't heal others because he just needs another flower in heaven. Show me that verse too, because y'all making stuff up right now. So what I'm going to do is build a case. I'm going to use my Bible, and so you know it's coming straight out of here. We're going to put it up there, and I have a question. If you went to a doctor's office and the doctor said, hey, tell me your symptoms. You do. He's like, okay, we can whip this in 3 small steps. Write this down. Would you take notes? This is how to whip whatever you have in your body right now in 30 minutes or less. We're going to tell you that. So I'm going to encourage you, get out your notebook, get out your Bible, get out your iPad, your iPhone, your sister's head, whatever you can take notes on, and write this stuff down, because it will save your life. So we're going to answer the question, is God willing to heal you? We're going to be talking a lot out of Matthew 8 and Matthew 9. So in Matthew 8, verse 2, it says, behold, a leper came up to Jesus, prostrating himself, and says, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse and cure me. And Jesus reached out his hand to touch him and said, I am willing. 3 big words. So there's one place in the Bible that establishes that God is willing to heal. Now, we can assume that the leper was under the covenant.
Well, what's the covenant? I don't even know what that is.
Well, let's answer that real quick. So the covenant is what people lived under. The old covenant is what people lived under before Jesus died and was raised from the dead. It was the Jewish people. It was their promise. It was the law. You had to do all these things according to the law. And when you sinned, you had to like sacrifice an ox, kill a couple of doves, build a fire, burn them, and do all this stuff. And how many of y'all are glad you didn't have to do that before breakfast this morning, right? So when Jesus is alive, they're still under the old covenant because he hasn't died and risen again. after Jesus dies and is risen again, we're under this thing called the new covenant. The new covenant is where you and I become heirs according to the promise. It's that when we get the good things that God has promised to the Jews and beyond, that's when we become a part of it. We're adopted and we are engrafted in Jesus' death into the promise. He fulfilled the law, so we don't have to kill all the animals anymore, but then we get to live under grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
By grace are ye saved through faith. Remember that, write that down. By grace, that's how you got saved, through faith. So let's write that down because we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But right now we're answering the question, will God heal you? So we just saw that he healed what we can assume to be a covenant person. Let's go a couple scriptures down. And then in verse 5, there is this centurion. The centurion is a Roman soldier. Romans are Greeks. Romans are not Jewish. Romans are not covenant. This guy has no right to expect that Jesus would do anything for him as a non-covenant man. So the centurion comes, and he not only isn't looking for a healing for him, not for his servant, but for his servant's son. And he comes to Jesus and he says, hey, my servant's boy is at the house paralyzed and distressed with intense pain. And Jesus says in Matthew 8:7, I will come and restore him. What you talking about, Willis? You're telling me that Jesus is going to heal a non-covenant person. Well, that's what the Bible says. So let's look at one more thing. I want to look at Mark 7. The Syrophoenician woman. Why is it important that she's a Syrophoenician? In Mark 7, verse 26, it says there was a Greek Gentile. Is that Jewish? Okay. So she's not Jewish, right? So she's not covenant. She's Greek Gentile, and on top of that, she is Syrophoenician. The thing about Syrophoenician, I looked it up. I had to Google it. The Syrophoenicians actually took over their country a couple hundred years before this happened. They killed all the wives, they killed all the children, they stole all their stuff. That would be the equivalent to the Russians or whomever coming into our country, killing all our wives, killing all our children, and stealing all our stuff. Would you like those people? No. So Jesus, you know, is his whole, the Jewish people do not like the Syrophoenicians. Not only is she not covenant, she's not worthy, he doesn't even like her. So let's see what happens. She comes and she says, my daughter is sick. I need your help. And Jesus says, let the children be fed, for it's not becoming our proper right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He just calls this chick a dog and not cool like, yo, dog, what's up? She calls her a dog like, you are not worthy of anything. And she says to him, even the dogs get the crumbs. And in verse 29, Jesus says to her, because of this saying, everybody say, this saying, you may go your way. He saw her faith, and he saw that she was willing to believe even though she wasn't due. And then he healed a non-covenant person he didn't like. He healed a Roman non-covenant person. They were actually in charge of their country at the time, and he heals a covenant leper. Leper says, will you heal me? He says, I will. Roman says, will you heal my servant boy? He says, I will. Woman, Syrophoenician says, will you heal my daughter? He says, I will. Non-covenant, non-worthy, not good, doesn't matter who you are. Jesus doesn't heal you because you are good. Jesus heals you because he is good. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Do you qualify for this? So, because the enemy might come to you and you might still think, well, maybe I don't qualify still. I mean, he healed these people, but is he going to heal me? So we're still in Matthew 8, verse 16. It says, when the evening came, they brought him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirit with a word, and he restored all who were sick. Who did he restore?
All.
Did he restore only the brunettes? Only the Jewish people?
No.
Only the young and cute ones?
No.
Only the people he liked?
No.
Only the people who were worthy?
No.
So who did he restore?
All.
Are you part of all?
Yes.
Not only are you part of all, you are part of all under the new covenant, which wasn't even in place yet. We were not under what was called the dispensation of grace. We weren't under grace yet. We're still under law, and he is healing all. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So how much more is Jesus, God, willing to heal us? Is God willing to heal you?
Yes.
Who does God heal?
All.
It's what the word says, y'all. So there's this Catholic church, and this little girl, she's about 4 years old. She's like, Mommy, I feel sick. Can you take me out, please? And she said, oh, honey, I can't miss it right now. You just go, run out the church, run around back, and you can go be sick behind the bushes. Come back when you're done. Well, the little girl comes back in like 60 seconds. And the mom's like, sweetie, you couldn't have made it outside in time. Where did you go? She said, Mom, God is so good to me. I got to the back of the church and I saw a box that said for the sick. That's why we don't have a box in our church that says for the sick. It's not about if you are worthy. We are not worthy. It is about God's ability, not is about if we are worthy. It's not about if we are worthy. It's about our faith in him. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith is a key to healing. And all faith is simply believing. It's just believing. Say believing. And I have you repeating a lot today because there's a thing called confession, and we're going to talk about it later. It's saying, and it's the importance of saying these things. So what I'm doing right now is I'm getting you warmed up to saying things about your healing. So let's just do it right now. Is God willing to heal you?
Yes.
Who does God heal?
All.
And you get healed by faith. Woo, y'all catching on. So let's say faith is believing. Faith is
believing.
Boom, you're getting this. And it's important to get this because it might not be today that is crucial. I don't know who in here doesn't have a stage 4 diagnosis of cancer, but when that comes to someone you love, someone you work with, you need to have this in you so it can come out of you. So by faith, so we said earlier that a scripture, by faith you are saved through grace. So we're saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So we get grace through faith. So we need the grace of healing. How many of you need the grace of God? How many of you know it is the grace of God that we get healing by? So we need the grace. How do we get the grace? We get grace. We're saved by grace through faith. So let's look up Romans 5:2 real quick. Romans 5:2 says, through him also, and this is the Amplified, we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into grace. So how do we get into grace? By faith. And we need that grace of God. So in the New King James Version, it says we have access by faith into grace. So why is this important? This is important because most of y'all in the room have prayed the prayer of salvation. I'm going to give you permission to lie in church if you're going to be embarrassed. So you will be speaking by faith if you raise your hand. But how many of y'all are saved? You prayed, you're saved. You got saved by faith. You prayed a prayer and you believed that God saved you. He forgave your sins when you prayed that prayer. Well, what's wild is in Matthew 9, I think it is. In Matthew 9... okay, I don't know where it is at the second. There's a leper, and the leper comes, or there's a paralytic man, and the paralytic man comes to Jesus. And he lays down in front, and he's laying down in front of him. He can't move. And Jesus forgives his sins. And the Pharisees, the religious people, are all freaked out. They're like, how can you forgive his sins? This guy is crazy. And Jesus says to them, well, what's it harder to do, forgive his sins or to heal the man? Watch this. Take up your mat and walk. And he picks up his mat and he walks. The Pharisees knew that Jesus could heal the man. They didn't think he could forgive his sins. Here's how it's opposite for us. We know that Jesus can forgive our sins. We just get stuck on the fact of, can he heal us? It's the same thing. It's grace by faith. It's the exact same thing as getting saved. But that's why we have to have the faith. We have to believe he is willing to heal us, and then we have to be willing to believe he can and has already healed us.
Jesus has already healed me because I'm sitting here sick right now.
Well, let's talk about that. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." R is not a future tense word. You can get it sometime in the future. It is not a past tense word. It is a present tense word. We are healed. We are at church right now. We're not going to be at church. We have been at church. We're at church right now. We are healed right now. I know you said I'm healed right now, but my body is kind of funky. Like my elbow still hurts. Okay, let's talk about that. Jesus, when he prayed for the sick, not everybody got healed immediately. Some people were healed immediately. Some people were prayed for, and it says they were healed as they went. If somebody didn't have an arm, Jesus prayed for them, and it says he was healed as they went. So what that means is Jesus prayed for them and laid hands on them, and they started walking away going, "Well, I don't know. My arm is still the same way." And that gives us the temptation to doubt. Say doubt. And in James 1, it says, "A man who doubts is twisted and turned like the waves of the sea, and that man should not think that he should get anything of the Lord," because faith can't tolerate doubt. He walk away with the symptoms still, you're going to be real tempted to doubt. But even when Jesus laid hands on the man, they were healed as they went. So we don't know if that means 30 seconds, 30 hours, or 30 weeks. As they went away, they were healed. So they couldn't let the doubt get to them. They had to have faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith is key, because that's how we receive our salvation. That's how we receive our healing. So we have to know what faith is. What is faith? Well, the Bible gives us a definition in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I like it in the Amplified Version. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what has not been revealed to the five physical senses." You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it. There's no way for you to know it's real, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what happens is you walk away without the healing immediately, and the temptation is to lose hope. I met a family a few weeks ago, and they had started watching us on television, and so they came to church, didn't know Jesus, don't really know God, don't go to church, and they had a terrible thing happen to one of the babies in their family, and the baby's been in a coma ever since. In talking to the family, I could tell they had lost hope. They were not making any plans. They're like, "Oh, we're never going to get to see him ride a bike, and we're never going to get to see him get married." And I didn't even know these folks yet, but I knew if I never see them again, I have to get them hoping again, because the hope is what's going to activate their faith. So I told them, "Let's just pause right there for 1 minute. Here's what I need you to do. Don't give up on that baby. You picture him riding a bike. Pick out the color of the bike he's going to ride. Know what streets you're going to see him riding it on. And you put that in your mind and you see your baby riding that bike." I said, "You see your baby all grown up, strapping and cute in a tuxedo, holding his bride's arm, walking him down the aisle. And you see him handing you his baby and saying, 'Look at your beautiful grandchild. Look what you have.'" It's impossible to have faith without hope. So we got to keep hope alive. Is God willing to heal you?
Yes.
Who does God heal?
All.
How do you get healed?
Faith.
Boom. And faith is believing. So we have to make sure that our faith is pointed in the right direction. So here's where it gets a little tricky. You go to the doctor. So I was walking through this amusement park. I'd love to tell this story about how I was skiing down a mountain, or I was like riding a trick horse, or riding a motorcycle, doing something really cool, but I was walking in an amusement park. all of a sudden I fall down and I'm in this crazy pain. They got to come get me in a wheelchair, put my leg up, eyes on it. I can feel every bump in the stupid sidewalk. Oh, if I cussed, I had all the right words. And I go to an orthopedic surgeon and they tell me, oh, classic torn meniscus. They do an MRI. I tell them what's going on and they're like, oh yeah, classic torn meniscus. I'm like, okay, classic torn meniscus. What do we do now? He's like, oh, surgery. When do you want to schedule it? I'm like, yo, bro, keep that knife away from me. I will cut you. You think you're going to cut me? No. And he's like, well, that's how we fix it. It's ripped and there's this little flappy piece and it's getting stuck up underneath your bone and that's what's causing you the pain. We just got to cut that flappy piece off. It's really no big deal. I'm like, yeah, it's 50 grand to you. It's my body. So what he didn't know is that I wanted an opportunity to pray about this thing now that I know what's going on. You see, doctors are good. We need doctors. We need doctors to help us. Medicine is good. God created a lot of medicine. Penicillin is mold. God created good food. God created supplements. God created wise men to be able to help us. But all of that is natural. What we need to do is make sure we put the super on the natural of what the doctors do for us. Because how many of y'all have been to a doctor, you told him all your symptoms, and he looked at you and said, I'm not sure, we'll try this, right? And you're like, you're going to try what? What am I, a pincushion? Now I know why they say doctors practice medicine. And it's not that doctors are bad, they're just natural. So next time you have a headache, don't just pop your Aleve and have your faith in the Aleve, or have your faith just in the doctor, because our faith needs to be in the great physician. Amen? So what we do when we take the Advil is we pop the Advil and we take it and we say, in the name of Jesus, this headache is going away and it's not coming back. I'll be the rest of the day headache free, the rest of the week headache free, and Jesus, while I'm praying, I'll go the rest of the month headache free in Jesus' name. And you always pray in Jesus' name, because that is like dropping a bomb on that sickness. You dropped a bomb on me, baby. I don't even know why I try that stuff. So now we know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why is that important? Because you get your healing by faith. And I can already tell you with the time, I'm not going to have time to just show you the multiple healings in Matthew 9 that said, because of your faith, because of your faith, because of your faith. Let me show you one, because we talked about the centurion, and it's in Matthew 8. So in Matthew 8, the centurion who's getting prayed for, Jesus says, I will come and restore him. And in Matthew 8:13, then to the centurion, Jesus said, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. That's how you get healed. You believe. Believing is faith. So let me just go through Matthew 9 for 1 second. Matthew 9, real quick. Woman with the issue of blood. Okay, so let's talk about the woman with the issue of blood for a second. She believed that when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. Now, there's nothing special. Take this with a grain of salt, because there's everything special about Jesus. I get that. But there's nothing special about the hem of Jesus' garment. Otherwise, the whole Bible would be like, touch the hem of his garment, you get healed. Touch the hem of his garment, you get healed. It wasn't the hem of his garment. That was her point of contact. She believed and she said, everybody say, say. She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, we're going to talk about saying in a second, I'll be healed. That was the point of contact. That's the importance of the healing service Tuesday night at Sunset Hills and Wednesday night at Weldon Spring. It is the point of contact for your healing. It's that you have a faith and I know when I'm going to receive it, so you can put your faith in it. Because sometimes when it's just I'm going to receive my healing, we get a little fuzzy with that. But you know, and the Bible also says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Because will God heal you?
Yes.
Who does God heal?
All.
You get healed by?
Faith.
And faith is
believing.
Boom. You guys got this. So I don't have time to go over it, but if you go through verse 20 and then verse 22, 28, 32, 35, you will see that God healed by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith. Not your mama's faith, not your daddy's faith, not your grandma's faith, not your preacher's faith, not your church's faith, not the prayer team's faith, but according to your faith. Amen? So you might be thinking right now, I need more faith. Oh my gosh, I want to be healed. I need more faith. How do I get more faith? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you get more faith? Faith comes by hearing. That's what the CDs are for. That's why we put it on the internet. That's why, don't leave service today without the CD and plan on coming back Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Get the CD, hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it, or go online and get it. It'll be up after 12 o'clock on Monday. Hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it. Don't come to this healing service without bringing somebody who's sick, but get them the CD first and say, here's your prescription. Listen to this 5 times, and then I'm going to take you, and they're going to pray for you, and you're going to be healed. But get them, build their faith first. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's 4 things that you can do to build your faith. Number one, write down every healing scripture you can find. Now, I could rattle off a bunch of them to you right now, but when you seek them out yourself, it's different. You own it. You might be freaking out right now going, how am I supposed to find all the healing scriptures in the Bible? One word, it's super simple. Giggle. You just giggle it. Healing scriptures, and phew, these suckers start popping up. Now the temptation, the easy thing is gonna be cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste. Don't do that. Write it down. Because when you write it down, you will start inscribing it on the inside of you, and you'll start feeling it and knowing it and living it. So you're gonna Google the healing scriptures, you're gonna write them down. And then number two, you're gonna read them every day. Well, why are we going to read them every day? Well, Proverbs 4, verse 20. I'll tell you what, God is helping me get to the bright places in my Bible quick, isn't he? I look like a stud. I'm not this good. So in Proverbs 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Another version says, incline your ear to my sayings. So attend to my words, incline my ear, listen to my sayings. Well, how do I do that? You read them every day. So you're going to write them down, and then you read those puppies every day. Why do you do that? Well, it says, let them not depart from your sight. Okay, we're going to read them every day. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay, I'm going to do that. Why am I going to do that? Verse 22, for they are life to those that find them, and health and healing. Another translation says medicine to all their flesh. If you need health and you need healing, if you need medicine, God is telling you, here is your medicine. Put this in you, and it is your medicine to heal you. Because it's not that we're special, or when we lay hands on you, or a prayer team lays hands on you, or pastors lay hands on you. It's not that any person is special. It's the healing anointing of God that is special. It's just the people that are the point of contact for the moment that's going to happen. Does that make sense? So you're going to write it down. Say, write it down. Two, you're going to read it every day. Number three, you're going to protect your heart. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does protect your heart mean? Don't listen to anybody who tells you, oh my gosh, that's the same diagnosis that Bubba and them had, and he died in 3 weeks. It's going to freak you out. Do not watch any stupid movie that has somebody dying of cancer at the end and everybody's really sad and you cry. What that does is it builds your faith. We know that focus is force. It takes your focus and your faith, and it builds it in death. The enemy loves that. No, we need to do, it says, we need to meditate on the word, because it's health and healing. It's life. It's medicine. We need the medicine. If we take this, it's poison. So Proverbs 4:23, where we just were, it says, protect your heart with all diligence. Above all, guard it, because out of it flows the springs of life. Life comes out of your heart. You have to protect your heart. So we're going to write it. Say, write it.
Write it.
We're going to read it.
Read it.
We're going to protect our heart. And then the last thing for the day is we're going to say it. You see, we have to say what it is we're going to do. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And in Mark 10, there's a blind guy. His name is Blind Bartimaeus. I love that they named him and said where he was from because it lets you know it's totally real. This is not a story. And so blind, if somebody's blind, how many of you know you can look at them and know they're blind? They need somebody to help them get around. And in those days, they also had to wear a blind garment that showed everybody when they were coming, I'm blind, somebody help me. So here's this guy, Jesus, help me. He's blind, he can't see, he can't get around by himself, and he's wearing a garment that says he's blind. And Jesus looks at the guy and says, what do you need? How many of you know 2 and 2 equal 4? Blind guy and Jesus probably knows what he wants. Yet he wanted blind Bartimaeus to say what he wanted. He wanted blind Bartimaeus to say, I want you to heal me. So God wants you to say it. So you're going to write down your scriptures. You're going to read your scriptures. You're going to protect your heart from the junk. And then you're going to say those scriptures out loud. And here's the other thing. You're going to quit saying, oh, that lumbago. Oh, my sciatic. Oh, I tell you what, my back goes out more than I do. Quit saying that junk. You're believing it. You're talking yourself into it. We need to say what the word says. And when your back hurts, I'm not saying lie. I'm saying when your back hurts, you touch your back and say, in the name of Jesus, you get in line and you quit causing me problems. That's under the curse, and I live under grace, and I get it through faith, and I believe my God is a healer, and he heals me because he's good, not because I'm good. In Jesus' name, boom, there's the bomb. And that's what you say to your back. And then if you're trying to let your family know that your back is hurting, they're going to figure it out when you say that. So everybody say, write it,
read it,
protect your heart,
Say it.
Say it. Will God heal you?
Yes.
Ha-ha. I like that. I tell you what, who does God heal?
All.
Love that. How do you get healed? By
faith.
Woo, you. And faith is
believing.
And to build your faith, you write it, read it, protect your heart, and say it. So this is like a crash course in building your faith for healing. I know it was fast. I know it was a lot of Bible. Was it okay for today? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and if you are online with us right now because you're in a hospital, you're stuck at home, you're at work, I want to let you know there is no distance in prayer. This prayer is just as powerful where you are on TV, wherever, as where we are. If you need a healing in your body, would you please raise your hand? Father God, in the name of Jesus, all of these hands being raised to the heavens. Ha ha. Whoa, that is a way of asking God. Let's say out loud right now. Let's say, God, I need you. To heal me. You're not moved by need. You're moved by faith. I believe that you will. I believe that you can. I believe that you have. I believe that I will walk in full manifestation of healing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to each and every disease, sickness, whatever they have called addiction, God, that is in this room, that is going through that camera right now. And I speak to it up, and I bind it up in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:18-19. Whatever I bind on earth is bind in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And I loose the magnificent healing power of the Almighty Jehovah into our bodies, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.
We open that family school.